How many laymen does it take to build a high-rise apartment? Dozens. You've got the engineers and the carpenters and the draftsmen and the plumbers and the bricklayers and the glass people and the steel workers and the heavy machinery operators who lift the steel beams in place and the architects and the contractors. Lots of people. Or how many laymen does it take to operate a grand luxury liner on the high seas? Dozens. You've got the captain, the first mate, the purser, the cooks, the helmsman, the guys in the boiler room, the radar and sonar operators, the radio men. You've got dozens of people at work. But when God looks down on this earth and wants to have a big, significant, spiritual job done, what does he look for? Dozens of men? No, he looks for one. When God wanted to deliver his millions of people out of the bondage in Egypt, what did he look for? The answer, one man. But God had a problem. That man, like most of us, was good at making excuses. Remember that story? God told Moses, "Come now, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people out of Egypt." What a tremendous opportunity God set before this layman, this sheep herder. But what was Moses' response? Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And God said, "Surely I will be with you." Moses continued to argue. When they say, "Who sent you? What shall I say?" And God cleared that up. And Moses continued to make excuses as to why he was not the man. "Behold," he said, "they won't believe me." His excuse, "You've got the wrong man, Lord." Or take the time God wanted to deliver his people out of the hands of the Midianites. He approached Gideon with the opportunity to do this great work. And what did the Lord get from Gideon? Excuses. At one point he said, "My family is poor, and I'm the least likely to succeed." Sort of like, "We live in the poorest section of town, on the poorest street, in the poorest part of town, and I'm the poorest of the bunch." Excuses, excuses, excuses. But God is used to getting excuses. When he approached Jeremiah with the idea of delivering a message to the nations, Jeremiah responded by saying, "O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." His excuse sounded logical. "Lord, this is an important job, and I know you don't want to put it in the hands of a baby." Or how about the time God told one of his men, "Go to Nineveh"? God knew the people of Nineveh were ready to hear a message of hope. Their false gods had failed them. Their leaders had failed them. They had experienced two successive crop failures. They were prepared for the message God had for them, but not Jonah. What did he do? He hopped a boat heading in the opposite direction for a land with beautiful sunshine, sandy beaches. He didn't even want to discuss it. He knew he was not the man for the job. Christian, what about you? God has all kinds of work waiting to be done. Think about this verse. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Think of it. Here is God seeking, scanning the whole world, looking for the man or woman whose heart is hungry to be used by God. Here is God waiting to empower them for the task he wants to give them. Layman, look to God for the job he has exclusively for you.